From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, the president has until Friday to formally decide whether or not China has been manipulating the value of its currency. Wind energy is set to provide about 5% of the planet's electricity within the next 20 years, and China is expected to resume imports of soy oil from Argentina. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll dig around in the USDA, WASDE, and crop production reports from last week to see what else there might be to suggest the future of commodity price direction. And in 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. Futures in the December wheat at 0.75 cents higher, $7.10 the settlement price for the soft red. March at 7.45 1/4 up 0.75 cents. July down 1¾ cents for next season at 7.56 1/2. From Kansas City, December hard red at 7.51 up 4¼ cents on the settlement price. December corn futures, $5.79 up 23¼ cents today. March at 5.88 3/4, 23¾ cents higher. The May at 5.93 1/2, up 23. July 5.95 1/2, up 21 1/2. September at 5.40 3/4, up 5. And December corn, 5.22 1/2, up 8.5 cents. November bean futures, $11.78 1/2, 26 cents higher. January futures, $11.89 1/2 a bushel, up 26 1/2. March at $11.99, up 26 3/4. July at $12.09, up 24 1/2. Next year's November, $11.49 a bushel, up 17 1/2. October meal at $3.29.40, up 6.30. October oil at $46.454, up 56. Mercantile exchange, October live cattle futures, $96.62 1/2, up $1.27 1/2. October feeder cattle at $107.47 1/2, 32 1/2 cents higher. And the lean hogs at $73.60, finished down a dime in their lead option. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures November contract, $81.68 a barrel, down 53 cents on the afternoon. Ethanol at $2.21 2/10 cents, up 2 9/10 cents. Natural gas at $3.63 2/10 cents, 3 1/10 cents higher. November heating oil futures at $2.26 2/10 cents, down 1 6/10 cents. And the gold futures on the day, $7.60 lower at $1,345.70 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 11,010. It's just about unchanged for the day. The dollar at 77.35 is down 0.08. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 297 is up 1.46 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast from the National Weather Service is calling for: sunny skies in Urbana-Champaign this afternoon, a high near 83 degrees, north-northeast winds around 6 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 54 degrees, north-northeast winds again this evening between 5 and 7, and then tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, that before 1 p.m., partly sunny skies afterwards, a high near 71 degrees. North-northwest winds between 7 and 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way up to 21. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, a low of 42. North-northwest winds between 8 and 13. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high near 67. Northwest winds will continue at 8 to 13. They'll gust up to 16 miles an hour. And then on Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low around 42 degrees. Friday should be sunny and 68. Friday night, clear, and a low of 41 degrees. By the time we get to the weekend, on Saturday it'll be sunny, the high at 72, the low at 44. Sunday a high of 74 and sunny skies. Sunday night partly cloudy, a low of 46. More complete details on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers happy again. The markets are rallying, as long as they own the crop, I suppose. That they sold already, they're grumbling about, but beggars can't be choosers sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's sure upping the odds for a profitable year and a profitable year next year on what we're looking at right now, Todd. And it's just unbelievable prices to what we would have thought just a month ago.
Indeed. I made note that it was mostly non-commercial buying, at least by the wire service predictions. Is that what you were hearing on the Squawk Box today, too?
Yeah, you know, yesterday we had the funds were net sellers across the floor as they banked some big profits, and today they returned with added vigor and new purchase orders. They said that there was somewhere between 12 and 15,000 contracts of corn additionally bought by funds today, and over 5 to 7,000 contracts of beans. So they come back in there, and we saw a real burst of energy there probably about 1 o'clock or 12:45 or so, where there were some new orders that flew on in and pushed us up to the new highs there for this move.
When we take a look historically, and we made the move in 2008, we know that it was the, as we looked back, that it was the commercials that were making the that were selling the other side of the move higher and actually handed the funds their heads, I guess, in part of that process. Is that what's happening this time around, too?
I don't think all of the part of it is some commercial hedging, but I think that out here we're seeing a lot of end users instead of just the funds on some of this little burst up, feeling that they need to add a little coverage. We saw some ethanol plants in there buying down when we got in the 550 to 560 bracket, because we know that as we look at some of the statistics out there that that's still a profitable level to buy corn at and process it into ethanol. So I think that there were some people adding a little coverage at that point in time yesterday and early this morning. And when it went surged on by that, then I think we picked up the fund trading as much along the way, and also some of the speculators. But we do have to have some hedging going on by the commercials up in here, because they are buying quite a bit of grain here. Iowa, I think they said, you know, the beans are moving to market very fast. The processing plants out there are accumulating beans quite readily during the harvest, and they're switching back to the corn now. And you know, farmers are having a lot of trouble wanting to go to their bins when they're seeing $5 plus on the cash corn.
Now, when you look at this marketplace, can you see it continue to move sideways to higher at these kind of levels?
I'll be very honest with you, Todd. We thought that we were going to consolidate down in that 550 and 1150 range right around there for a few days and sort of take a look and see how harvest progressed out west, and take a look at a few things. And actually, when we couldn't take out that support point today, that's when we saw the funds come back, the ones that liquidated yesterday, come back in and buy and pop us up and keep going here. So I think, you know, our next big resistance level just happens to be somewhere around that $6 mark now on the corn, and it's probably the $12 mark in the beans. And it looks like they're on a mission to try to push us that way.
You know, it's often said that you have to feed the bull in order to keep it moving higher. What was the news, if anything, today that did that?
You know, we didn't find what we considered a lot of news out there through the day, but it come in later in the markets. It says that there's concern about the South American summer weather. You know, we've got some rain forecast over the next 10 days, but then very sparse forecast for continuation of that. So, I mean, that's number one. The export numbers this morning were very good in the beans. They raised, this week's numbers were good, and last week's numbers were raised a little bit, some corrections made. The corn number was good, but it wasn't exceptionally high. But I think the other thing, too, is we continue to hear yield reports out west, the Nebraska, the Iowa, parts of Minnesota, that maybe the yields aren't bad, but they aren't the outstanding that they needed to be, and still the continued talk of a 1 to 2 bushel decrease in next month's USDA report. Now, whether we'll actually see that or not, with our USDA seems to want to shock us a lot lately, is a nice way of saying, and they do seem to be trying to make their corrections faster than they ever used to, and if you're a longtime watcher of reports, sometimes we figure what they're going to say rather than what they should say. And I think that has been very hard on a few of us traders over the last 2 months.
Yeah, state statisticians should be compiling their reports feverishly for the release this afternoon in about half an hour, about 45 minutes or so of the weekly crop progress. Any thoughts on where that'll show corn and soybean harvest?
Oh, we're moving along very rapidly, and it's going to be putting us here past the midpoint of harvest, and I think that that's one of the times that we, especially in short crop years, where we see the market either react on the board or with the basis, and I think depending on the areas where things are wrapped up, why the basis level, especially in the corn, has really drawn in at this point in time. Mm-hmm. We are continuing to see some pretty wide bean basis levels, though, that had narrowed in, and they're going back out wider as we continue to increase this bean price along with the corn.
Does it surprise you at all that wheat hasn't been drug higher than it has in this process? It's been more standstill than the other two.
It's very much been more standstill, Todd, and I think that we saw that rush for the wheat market and the surge that happened there happen earlier with the Russian embargo, basically along the way, and them not coming in their disastrous crop over there. And I think it's reached up to a level, and most everybody's went out, and the emergency purchases were made. And now with the corn crop here falling back, the world carryout falling back, stocks-to-use ratio being tight, I think that we're seeing the more reaction to that now, and we're going to get the corn-wheat ratio back in line.
Yeah, because it's in line, do you think more in line, and it is right now, right? Yeah, so will it cap this move?
I don't know that it will cap it, but rationing is going to occur at some point in time, whether it's wheat being used for feed that's of milling quality, whether it's corn getting so high that we can't use it for ethanol, or just the fact that we're going to cut back on some livestock or some other uses. We're not sure what that level is yet. It's higher than we thought it was going to be, and it still seems to have some steam left in it.
Wayne, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural newscast.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama's administration faces a deadline of Friday on whether to formally declare for the first time that China manipulates its currency following an election year vote in the U.S. Congress to get tough with Beijing. Since it took office in January of 2009, the Obama administration has declined to label China a currency manipulator. But many economists believe the yuan is undervalued by as much as 25% to 40%. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, speaking last week at the Brookings Institute, said, quote, "When large economies with undervalued currencies act to keep currency from appreciating, that encourages other countries to do the same. China will be less likely to move to allow its currency to rise more rapidly unless it is confident other countries will follow." A U.S. Treasury Department spokesperson yesterday said that she had no information about when the currency report would be released beyond Geithner's promise for lawmakers last month that it would be issued in, quote, "a timely fashion." A report from the Global Wind Energy Council says that wind energy will increase to generate between 5% and 22% of the world power by 2030, and countries need to do more to expand electricity grids to cope. The report also said nations in Latin America and Africa were shifting to wind alongside established markets in Europe, North America, China, and India. It said wind turbines accounted for about 2.3% of world electricity demand in 2010. The study said wind would rise to 5% of world electricity demand by 2030, or 1,400 terawatt hours. China will resume soy oil imports from Argentina. A China COFCO executive says the lifting of the ban is because of political reasons, not because of prices. Another trader with an international trading house said the resumption of imports was due to concern over the recent rise of domestic soy oil prices. China effectively barred imports of the edible oil from Argentina at the end of March amid a wider trade dispute. Meanwhile, China's Commerce Ministry has revised upwards its estimate for October soy imports to 4.15 million tons, even with its estimate for September. Farmers in central South Dakota could get more money for their corn and soybeans by taking advantage of a new railroad partnership to send their crops west to Seattle. Under a deal between Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway and Dakota, Minnesota, and Eastern Canadian Pacific, 110-car trains will be loaded with grain in Highmore and Harold, South Dakota, and hauled to the Port of Seattle. Farmers could get 15 to 25 cents more per bushel for their grain because Seattle serves Asian markets, which pay higher prices for corn and soybeans than farmers have received in Chicago. The improved shipping also is expected to encourage farmers to plant more corn and soybeans, replacing wheat and sunflowers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, make sure you sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. It's as easy to get off that list as it is to get on it. If you want off, just hit unsubscribe. It's all over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Now up next, we'll explore those numbers from the USDA released last week in the crop production and WASDE reports and where they might take the future of commodity pricing. When USDA released the grain stocks report at the end of September, the agency found an extra 300 million bushels of corn. Prices plummeted, and then they began to climb back upward despite the extra supply left over from last year. Friday, the agency released its latest calculation of both the size of the new corn crop and its expectations of how it will be consumed in the coming months. It found a whole lot less corn, still the third largest on record, and managed to use up an extra 150 million bushels in the feed and residual category. Scott Irwin, ag economist from the University of Illinois, dug through the numbers and says what USDA has done by dropping the national average corn yield by about 7 bushels to the acre, the new yield's 155.8, is consistent with the anecdotal evidence.
What I found interesting in the information that the USDA provides, on their objective yield indicator, the average ear weights didn't decline very much. What you saw was, in fact, a drop in population estimate. So I take from that that a large part of the reason that this yield number dropped so much was on the farm operator side of the USDA's yield estimates.
The USDA estimate is made up, primarily, says Scott Irwin, of two indicators, an objective yield, actual numbers, and a survey of farmers. It's quite likely, thinks the ag economist, the second indicator proved to be overwhelmingly lower than in previous estimates. That is to say, farmers told USDA the crop was not there and gave a much lower figure for their whole farm yield.
I'm guessing from everything I've heard that there's been a sharp drop in farmers' expectations about yields as they've gone through harvest. And that's a big part of the drop in the number we see here.
The lower crop yield has dropped the carryout for next fall. That's what will be left in the bin a year from now, to 902 million bushels. That's not very much. And USDA, because this number is so small, estimates the average cash price for a bushel of corn will increase 60 cents from the already record-setting $4.40 a bushel to $5 even. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, it's an ADM subsidiary, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Where should we start? Do you want to start with crude oil?
Well, certainly, if anything, the crude and product markets have been probably the most or least volatile relative to other markets within the complex. And a lot of that still reflects what we've been saying, that the demand side is still key. It still seems to be haves and have-nots in terms of the emerging market economy still being the major demand focus versus those in the industrialized countries, which have been still rather weak. So those markets have been holding to trading ranges and probably will continue to do so, although we might see some pressure come on these markets a little bit going into the OPEC meeting at the end of this week.
Can you talk about the relationship between crude and corn and ethanol production? And I want to go back just a bit, because there was a time in which they seemed to be hooked together pretty closely, so that if we had $80 crude, we had $4 corn, cash corn, that is. That's not the case, of course, today because of demand and not exactly short supply, but of bigger demand. What's that relationship like?
Well, certainly with the sophisticated investors that we see through the ETFs and the like, you do have people looking at valuations relative to other markets. And what we've seen is recently is money moving it back into the agricultural markets after having taken a hiatus here recently. Once we saw some of the very bullish supply-demand numbers coming into the corn, you saw a lot of money move out of back out of the crude into the corn market, and that has pushed that relationship back into a level that favors corn.
All right. Anything you want to add before I let you go for the day?
No, just that certainly one has to look at production cost side going forward, and certainly a lot of these markets are underpinning others, particularly the energies.
Thanks so much. Steve
Have
Platt is with Risk Management, or Steve Platt is with ADM's Archer Financial Services. He's located in Chicago, Illinois. I'll return in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
It's Farmers' Day in Florida. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus arrived at the Bahamas. In 1810, the first Oktoberfest was celebrated in Munich. Oktoberfest originated as a horse race to celebrate the marriage of the Crown Prince of Bavaria. Today, it is a two-week festival ending on the first Sunday in October. during which more than 1 million gallons of beer are consumed at the Munich Festival. In 1914, Margaret E. Knight died, an American inventor. She invented an improved paper bag machine to make bags with flat bottoms. Knight was one of the most prolific woman inventors in history, receiving 27 patents over her lifetime. And in 1965, Paul Hermann Mueller died, a Swiss chemist. He discovered that DDT was a potent insecticide. It was the most widely used insecticide for more than 20 years and helped to increase food production around the world. Due mainly to its accumulation in animals that eat insects and its toxic effects on them and those further up the food chain, it has been banned in the United States since 1972. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us this afternoon, Don Day of Day Weather, Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Don.
Hey, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the week ahead.
Well, we are going to have some weather to deal with. It may cause some problems for any impending harvest operations. While no excessive precipitation is coming, we're going to see an area of low pressure that will be coming out of the southern plain states and moving up into the Midwest and Corn Belt, bringing some shower activity our way. A lot of it, though, is going to be focused on the eastern Corn Belt. Ohio, eastern Kentucky, maybe eastern areas of Indiana are most likely going to get wet. Then we'll await the next system, and that one might be a little more potent terms of precipitation for the Midwest as we get into around the Tuesday-Wednesday time frame of next week. So we've got a couple of systems, the first one affecting the eastern areas, the second one affecting the western areas.
I suppose that's all coming along with a cold front of some sort. It drops a little rain, but we really don't get that cold for this time of year, do we?
We're really not doing bad. We have really yet to see a wave of cold come in. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of cold air in those northern latitudes, but we haven't had the right pattern to send it down south yet. Now, I think we will see some of that colder air, some of the coldest air of the season affecting the New England, the northeast United States, but it's going to be a while, maybe another week to 10 days before we're threatened with anything too cold from the Midwest yet.
Better check in on the soybean planting progress in South America, corn planting progress in Argentina as well. What do you see for that area of the world?
Well, they're looking at a fairly normal forecast in terms of both temperature and precipitation in South America. Argentina may be a little bit cooler than normal, while Brazil's temperatures are going to be closer to normal. Soil moisture down there is not bad, except in areas of central and southern and western Argentina, a little bit dry. Conditions in Brazil, a little bit better.
Anything we need to check in on an Australian wheat crop at all at this point?
Australia's looking pretty wet. There's going to be a rather stormy weather pattern across most of the growing areas of Australia. So for areas that are looking for soil moisture, chances are real good they're going to get some.
Okay, and then take us up to the other wheat-growing region, but in the northern hemisphere, because they'll be sowing at this point in Ukraine, and should be. They're only about halfway as far along at this point as they were last year. The conditions have been awfully dry in those regions. Will they stay dry?
Well, there is some hope for precipitation over some of those key areas of Europe. The pattern right now across Russia, Eastern Europe, is going to be fairly active with several frontal systems moving through. So they may get some help. Will there be tons of precipitation? No, but I think there's going to be some hope that they'll have a little bit of moisture to work with as they sow the crops there.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good day.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, one more note before I let you go, because you all know Kip Cullors. He's usually out on the speaking circuit talking about yields for soybeans. He's the world record holder. He broke it this year at 160.6 bushels to the acre. He broke his old record set in 2007 by 6 bushels.